Well, I too want to greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I'm going to add to Chris's praise report. I think sometimes, I'm just talking about myself here, but sometimes maybe I ask God in a little bit of a selfish way for things. And I'm not saying that's what Chris did, because I am pretty sure it's not. But even then, sometimes God answers. So we were at, Vonda ordered some clothing for me from JCPenney. And something happened, they don't fit anymore. Anyhow, so they had to be a little bit bigger. So we went back to JCPenney to see if we could exchange them, because they were running an amazing special. Money talks. So we went back and walked in there, and we handed the suit to him and told him we'd like to have something just a little bit bigger than that. There's a wedding coming up that I need that suit for. The lady looked at it and she said, "That was a special they were running online, and we probably can't do that here." So I prayed. I didn't want to spend that extra money, and I needed that pretty quick-like. Before it was all said and done, she went online, and she's not sure how it worked. We know. But she's not sure how it worked, but they had the suit in stock. We actually went and tried it on. Came back, and we handed it back to her, and I was not allowed to take it home. They have to ship it to me. But I was okay with that, because somehow she got one day shipping, and she's not sure how that worked. And how did she get to keep the sale price? She's not sure how that worked. But we know. God does some amazing things, doesn't he? Sounds pretty simple, but it was really, really good. That's not my message this morning. But I do want to welcome you here this morning. I've titled my message this morning, How to Study God's Word. How many of you are satisfied with how you study God's Word? Yeah, my hand doesn't go up either. There are always ways for us to grow in how we study. Maybe there's a technique. But how do we study God's Word? My mind went back to when I was younger. I'd go to the Word and I'd read. And I wanted to read. I wanted to learn. But I would read something. I closed my Bible and I'd go around through the rest of the day. I had no clue what I read. But I read. And I'm asking you this morning, if you're reading and you don't understand, don't stop. Because God's Holy Spirit is working. But as I was thinking about this, I thought, well, are there ways that we can actually go into the Word? Ways that will help us to maybe break it down a little bit. To dissect what's there. Scripture says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. As we get into the Word, I think that's part of that picture. We're wanting to get close to God. We want Him to get close to us. We want to be connected. When I was at Fairplay, and Craig can connect with this, the boys' camp in South Carolina, when our group of boys did well, we took them on river trips. We spent a lot of time in canoes. Craig, what's the longest canoe trip you took? Do you remember? Okay, about a week and a half. That's a long time on the water. When I got into the canoe, I had somebody there to teach me. I sat at the back and they said, "You're sitting in the back as one of the counselors there. You are the one that is controlling this canoe. The one in the front is the one that's helping us stay caught up with the rest of them. He's just paddling away." But they said there's some techniques you need to know about this. So as the one who was controlling how that canoe turned, I had to know how to use that paddle that I was given, the oar. So we had what we call the J-stroke. We would bring it back. Tom's giving me a thumbs up over there. He spent some time in a canoe. We took that paddle. We did like a J. And that would keep that canoe in line. And if I needed to turn, it also turned that canoe. I could dishonor them. No, I'm doing it my own way. I could do that too. And the rest of the guys in the other canoes started disappearing. But if I followed, if I used the technique that I was taught, we could all stay together and enjoy our time going down the river. Maybe learning how to study the Bible is a little bit like learning how to control a canoe. Maybe there's some techniques that we can use in study. I'd like for you this morning to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 1. And we're not going to read that at this point yet. We're going to come to that here in a bit. But there's different parts of Scripture that we see in the Bible. And they're all pretty important parts. There's a lot. Well, the Bible's important. We know that. When I was younger, part of my thinking was, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to be a hermit. I would love to be by myself somewhere. Somewhere that has changed. I love people. I spend a lot of time around people. But the Bible teaches us how to be connected. There's not a whole lot of room for hermits in the Bible. But we are to be connected as a body of Christ. The Bible teaches us about marriage. God created marriage. So if I want to learn how to function in marriage, how to love my spouse, how to relate to my spouse, God's Word has it. It's there. The Bible talks to us about meeting together as a body of Christ to worship. Well, there's a thing going around today that I no longer have to meet with the body of Christ because I am part of that body. I can stay at home and I don't have to worry about anybody else. Scripture would teach us otherwise. So there's a whole bunch of things that we could actually name throughout Scripture that He is showing us how to do things. The psalmist said this in Psalm 119. He said, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." He's talking here about the law. "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." He says two things here, the psalmist. He says, teach me. He wanted to know. And I wonder if I have that attitude. Teach me, God. Show me how to live life. Give me understanding, it says. That was his desire. He wanted understanding. He wanted to know how to live. And then he said, "I will keep thy law." So the psalmist was desiring that he would be taught. 2 Timothy 2:15 is a verse that's very familiar. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So where do I start? Where do I start with, might have to take me to that next screen. Okay, where do I start? Before we get into the three things that I want to talk about this morning, this I believe is extremely important. I believe we need to start with prayer. I listened to quite a few different pastors talking about studying the Word of God. And I noticed something that I think every one of them stated in their specific study. End it with prayer. I believe that's very important. But I also believe it's extremely important that we begin with prayer. One of the first things that I like to do when I study, when I get into God's Word, is I get on my knees before God. Maybe I'm standing. Maybe I choose to sit in my recliner that morning. It doesn't matter the posture specifically of our body, but our heart posture is what matters. So I'm coming before God in prayer, and I'm asking Him, would you show me? Would you show me what you want me to see as I look into your word? Do it through your Holy Spirit. Now, if I'm asking God through prayer to do that for me, what's it going to take from me? I'm going to need your help this morning. I'm not going to preach this message by myself. If I ask God to show me, what am I going to have to do? Okay, so I'm asking by asking Him to show me, but there's something else that I'm going to have to do. Listen. My ears have to be in tune. If I'm praying and I'm asking Him, God, would you show me? And I'm not willing to listen, am I going to get it? I'm going to miss it. So we have to have ears that are willing to hear. And as we hear, we need to be willing to actually do. The next one I have listed there is time and a place. It is good for you to find a time and a place that you lay aside to pray, to worship, and to get into the Word. We have a time set at our house for supper. Vonda, what's that time? 5:30. So if you call me at 5:30, you're welcome to do that. You might hear something like that. We eat supper at 5:30 most every night. Not always, but that's our goal. So I don't have a hard time setting that side of time. That time aside. That was backwards. I don't have a hard time to do that because I know there's going to be food involved. I don't have a hard time coming in to sit down at the table because that's where we meet. So we have a time and we have a place where we meet for supper. And that's pretty important to me because I like to eat. I'm going to be honest. That's why the suit didn't fit. Something I need to work on. But there's a time and a place for us to meet God. Now, it doesn't have to be the same every day. I understand that. But when you can, it is very good to have that specifically set aside. There was a man that was out on the street corner praying, and he was making a scene. It's in the Bible. I'm not going to go to that scripture exactly, other than I'm going to read this verse. This is Jesus talking to the disciples and those that were listening. He told them, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, so here, what he's doing here, he's setting aside a time to pray, and he's giving them a place. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And do we always have to go into hiding to pray? No. But I believe there's something really, really special about laying everything aside, getting to a place where there are no distractions, seeking the Father through prayer, through the Word. I want to give you three tools this morning. And by the way, as I looked into this, started asking some questions, I found out there are a lot of different plans to studying God's Word. So what I have this morning, this is a book that I've been reading. It's called Living by the Book. We actually have this in a DVD series here if you're interested in going through it. We've done that different times during Sunday school. But it's called Living by the Book. But it has some very, very good advice in here on how to dissect Scripture, how to get into the Word, and how to study. So if you're interested in that, that DVD set is here. Uh-oh. The first tool that I have here is observation. Now I'm going to read Psalm 1. You can follow along. Now when we get to the end of that, we're going to see what's in this psalm. But I'm going to need your help. So you're probably going to want to pay attention as we read. Let's go to Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth at the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. If I can say that right. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So here we have a psalm. Let's see what we can do with this psalm. As we observe what's there, what do you see? What's the first thing you see that came to your mind as you read, or as you listened? There's instructions. Okay? What else did you see? Let me give you a little bit of an idea. Years ago, we don't see this a whole lot anymore, but years ago, we would go to the airport in Columbus, Ohio, and they had an observation deck that we could actually go out and we could watch the airplanes come and go. We were observing. We were watching what type of airplane it was. We were watching the smoke come off the wheels as they landed. We had all kinds of fun up there watching the airplanes. We were observing. So that's what we're doing with this specific psalm here. So there's teaching that's going on. Let's just go on down through. Who was the author here? Did it say in this scripture who the author was? It doesn't say. So then it takes a little bit of digging. So I want to be careful with this. But we've all got commentaries, I'm sure, in our houses or on our phones. We have Bible dictionaries. There's all kinds of study tools. And this one I want to be careful with. We do have Google, but be careful. Because there's plenty of deception out there that we want to make sure it lines up with the Word of God. But as I dug into this, I couldn't specifically find an author. There's those that think it was probably King David, but we're not sure. But this psalm actually is a bit of an introduction to all of Psalms. I found that interesting. If you read through this, who is he writing to? What would you get from this? Who is he writing to? Everyone. He didn't specifically name somebody, did he? So he's writing to the reader. To whoever reads this. What are some of the facts that he states in here?
There's consequences for the actions you take.
Consequences for actions you take. Okay? That's very clear, isn't it? What else? I'm glad you brought that up. There are steps, aren't there? There's a connection there to each one. The first thing he's talking about here is about one that is in the midst of an ungodly people. He's saying he's blessed if he doesn't walk amongst them. And what we're talking about here, we're not talking about what he's talking about in Matthew 28 about going out and sharing the gospel. But he's talking about a connection here. With the ungodly, he's talking about the one who doesn't walk. The next step would be to stop and to stand with them. And the next step actually says he doesn't sit with them. So in other words, there is a picture here of there is something else that we're seeking for, not this. If we want to be blessed, this is not it. There's something else I'm hoping you picked up in this short few verses. What else do you see in here? Okay, very good. What are the righteous like? a tree planted by the rivers of water. So now I'm getting into a little bit more of where we're going to go here. But watch for emphasis, things that are repeated. Who, what, where, when, and how. Watch for these things as you're trying to observe what's in this scripture. Let's move on to the next one. Interpretation. So we have observation to start with, and then we have interpretation. These kind of intertwine a bit, but there's a few differences. So when there's an interpreter up here, I'm talking English and he's going to talk a different language to you. He's explaining what I'm saying so we can all understand. Again, Psalm 119, the same verse we went to before, teach me. Give me understanding. He wanted to know. So he was asking for clarity. So let's go to a story real quick. I'm not going to turn there, but you remember Philip as he's going along. The Holy Spirit said, I want you to go over to that chariot. I want you to talk to the man on that chariot. He goes over to the chariot. The man is reading, I believe it was out of the book of Isaiah. Philip goes up next to him and says, do you know what you're reading? And he said, no, how do I know unless somebody explains it to me? He needed somebody to interpret. He needed to understand. So there are some dangers that we have to be cautious of when it comes to interpretation. And I will open this up this way also, that if you don't understand, there are other translations besides the King James. I use a couple of different translations and I do a lot of comparing. But sometimes something that comes up that keeps us from understanding is language. Because this was written in a different language than what we use today. So sometimes we have to go to the Greek, we have to go to the Hebrew. How many of you have the blue, I don't have my phone with me, but the blue letter Bible app on your phones? Do you know how to go in and check out the Greek words in that? If you don't, ask me afterwards and I'll show you how to get there. I think most of you probably know. Blue Letter Bible is it's free, by the way. It is a very, very good app to help you understand the meaning of the words in Scripture. And it'll also take you to other Scriptures that use the exact same word and show you how it's used there, so it helps you understand the meaning of that word. So language sometimes can be a barrier. We need to work through that through study. Culture. History can sometimes keep us from understanding. I'm going to give you an example. And I'm hoping to get into 1 Corinthians 7 here soon. But in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul is talking to the church. And he makes the comment about virgins. And he says, I'd rather you don't get married. Really? In our day and age, we look at that like, Paul, what are you trying to say? But there's a verse in there that we'll come to sometime here before too long. In hopefully that message that talks about the difficult time they were going through. So because of that, we understand the culture of that time and the history that goes with that. And he said, it'd be easier for you not to be married right now. So there's something that we need to understand through that. Distorting the text is also another one. Making it say what I want it to say. A very, very dangerous thing to do. So observation and interpretation are closely related. I want to go to the third one. This one is application. And to be very honest with you, as we look around and we realize what Scripture teaches, application is probably one of the least used of any of these. We like to understand it, but application takes obedience. If I'm going to apply what Scripture says, Lynn has to disappear. You have to disappear. God is foremost. He's at the front. So if I'm going to follow what he teaches in the Bible, in Scripture, and I understand, I've observed it, to understand what it means. Now I'm going to apply it to my personal walk. If he says, I don't hate my brother, but there's something within me that I just can't stand him. Somewhere there's a problem. We have to be willing to say, yes, Lord, clean me up. Do what it takes. Application. Application is to see and to understand the spiritual meaning, knowing how to use it. And I'm sorry, I'm trying to read my notes here. It's all printed out, but our printer, chose this morning to really mix up some of the writing here, blurring it so bad that it's hard to read. And I knew it before I left. I should have gone through this a little more. But our desire is to understand why Scripture says what it says. I want to give you a picture I'm just going to go back to Harold and Tom and Sheldon. Let's do it that way. The minister that's here right now, we have the same desire that Tom and Sheldon and Harold had. The desire is that we all walk faithfully. But can I be right, clear, and honest with you this morning? If you come to church and you're expecting today that Paul and Chad and myself are going to feed you for the rest of the week, you're going to be disappointed. It's going to take you digging in and understanding for yourself. We can give you food. We can give you spiritual lessons. We can explain Scripture to you. But unless you take that yourself and you get into the Word on your own, friends, if we go without eating for a whole week, without having a purpose, we're going to get awfully hungry and we're going to get weak. And if we don't get into the Word, eventually we die. I'm going to leave that challenge with you. Biblical truth is the wardrobe of the soul. The scribes and the Pharisees had it all down. They were good. They knew the law. Did they follow it? Not specifically. Jesus had some very, very harsh words for them. He said in Luke 6:46, he said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" What if he's talking through the Holy Spirit to me today, to each one of you? And he's saying, "You've called me Lord, but you're not following." I think that's something pretty serious for us to think about. Applying what I've learned in Scripture is going to change my heart. Sometimes when my heart changes, I go through a tough time. I don't like that kind of heart surgery sometimes, but it's very, very necessary that we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and to do some surgery sometimes. One of the questions that has come to me personally, not from somebody else, but that has been with me, is as I'm reading and as I'm discerning Scripture, as I'm asking the Lord for clarity, as I'm listening to others, am I willing to say yes when it goes against what I like? That's been a tough one for me. Because Lynn has a will. So do you. Am I willing, when we see something in Scripture, to say, "Yes, Lord, I will follow"? Can I tell you that's what's going to matter? Because when we come and we stand before a righteous judge, and it says, "You saw this in Scripture. This is who you were to be. And you said, 'No, I would do it my way.'" This morning I got news that my first cousin passed this morning. Jason was a man who loved the Lord. This morning he met the Father. And I have full confidence because of the life that he lived that he heard, "Well done." Wonder about myself. What if I were to be taken out today? Have I followed? Have I read and said, "Yes, this is the way I will go"? When we read Take me to the next one, would you? For some reason that one's not going through. Go ahead and take me. Is it through? Okay, thank you. When we read and study the written word of God and apply it to our lives, we become enlightened with His holy presence. When we are enlightened, we become transformed. As we are transformed, it produces growth. Now we bear much fruit. Sometimes I wonder, why is there not more fruit coming from my personal walk? And maybe you think that yourself. Why is there not more fruit? Sometimes it just comes back to the very fact that I've chosen to do it my way. I haven't chosen to follow God's way. John 15:8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." So, as we looked at this scripture, we didn't come back, we didn't look at interpretation, and we didn't look at application. So let's just go back really quick. It's time to close, but let's go back really quick and let's look a little bit at, at application. So, what he's telling us in part of this first two verses there, he's given us a comparison. What is the comparison in verse 1 and verse 2? Do you see the comparison here? Okay, there's a difference there, isn't there? He's talking about the man who's blessed that doesn't get connected with that, but yet there's a picture there of the ungodly. Verse 2, there's a picture of the one who delights in the law of the Lord, and he meditates in it day and night. He is in the Word. He's delighting in it. Do I delight in the Word? If I do, verse 3, we talked about this a bit, but you're going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. In other words, it's continually being fed. Because it's continually being fed, there's fruit. There's beauty. His leaf also shall not wither. And he's very prosperous, spiritually speaking, I believe. Then he comes back to verse 4, to the ungodly. And he says, that's not like they are. They're thrown around back and forth. Now, one of the things I did not bring out as far as study goes this morning, how many of you have a center column in your Bible? Those of you who have actual Bibles here outside of your phone. Do you have a center column? Do you use it? If not, I suggest you do. There are verses there that will echo what's in this specific psalm. And it'll continue to help you to understand. It takes time. Study takes time. It takes commitment. But if you take those verses that are in the center column and you follow through with those, it will take you to other scriptures that echo what he's saying here, and it explains itself. One of the best ways to understand these verses, I believe. Then it comes to verse 5, and he continues to talk about the ungodly there, how they're not going to be able to stand in judgment. The sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And then verse 6 is where I want to close. He says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." The Lord knoweth. As I looked at that word knoweth, it says it means he's acquainted with. So the Lord is acquainted with the way of the righteous. If you fit into that picture, he knows you. He knows your way. He understands. He's acquainted with our lives. He knows us and we know Him. And we have an eternity with Him. We'll be in His presence forever, never to leave. It is of great peace and comfort to live life with no fear of perishing, but instead knowing we are completely cared for and loved. That is a comfort. As we get into the Word of God to learn what He's telling us and to follow in obedience, maybe this message is more about obedience than anything else, because that's application. We can read, we can study, but unless application takes place, the Bible becomes a good book of literature. So my encouragement this morning is, yes, we teach many times, read the Bible, spend time in prayer, but find a way to break down Scripture. And if you're still not 100% sure how to do this, find somebody to sit with you and just help you break down some of the Scripture. There's some verses I don't understand. I think there's a few that Tom doesn't understand. Tom's been in the Bible for many years. But there's some we don't understand. One of the things that I've really been blessed in a class that we have back here Tuesday nights, from time to time we've come to a verse that we're just not sure of. We stopped. Everything just stops. We get into the Word and we try to figure out what it is. And once we understand it, we move on. That has been a blessing. So don't give up. When you read a verse that you're just not sure of, don't give up. Don't just toss it out. But maybe you have to find somebody to help you. But there are answers. I'm sure Tom has a lot to help you with. Anyhow, thank you so much for listening. I'm so blessed this morning by knowing that we have right here in front of us what it takes to know how to walk with God and to know how to apply Scripture in our own personal lives. Would you stand with me? We'll have prayer, and then after prayer, I've asked Nelson to lead us in a song. Let's pray. God, we are so grateful this morning for Your Word. So thankful, Lord, that we don't have to read and leave not knowing what it said, but that we have opportunities, Lord, to search out the Scriptures, because You show Yourself through the Scriptures, and You teach us how to live. God, I pray that we would be willing to walk in obedience. Father, to be honest, that's probably one of the hardest things for all of us. We love Your name. We love You. We bless You this morning. We ask, Lord, that You would continue to give us wisdom and direction. Give us desire to please You. Would You dismiss us with Your blessing? We commit ourselves to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.